Welcome back, everybody. This is the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. We have a very special episode today to deal with one of the major problems that most people come into contact with as they live the Western lifestyle. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us as usual is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin. How are you doing today?
I'm having a really special day because today I got up to a very quiet computer room.
Oh,
and,
dear.
And look at that. Oh, it's dead. Oh, now that I found it's not just dead, but it actually burnt out the hard disk on its way down. So I've just woke up to the situation where I'm finding out, well, okay, we have an old computer, no big deal, I'll just go buy a new one. Oh, well, actually, no, it's not just that. It's just that we can't bring it back. It's completely shot. So whatever was on the hard disk is now gone, and it will have to be reconstructed because my backup is, guess what?
Not backed up?
Well, it's backed up, but it's a bit old. You know, it's
an old
not
backup.
Timely. There's a backup, but a whole bunch of information that I would like to have had, I don't have. So, I declared it an inconvenience, whereas my wife was saying, "You are what? This is a major disaster." I mean, and she started just sort of going, what's the word? I guess purple in the face, trying to tell me how terrible it was, right?
So her blood pressure was definitely elevated.
Oh yeah, definitely. She definitely looked it. You know that look that people get with those sort of red, ruddy cheeks and it's a look that as if you were just working out, except you're sitting down.
Right. Well, I had a not similar experience, but I had my own little blood pressure raising day today because we had a snowstorm.
Ooh.
A friend of mine called me up and confirmed that we were going to get together for lunch. We made the arrangement a week before, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not that bad, right? So, of course, out I go, and the traffic is at a crawl, and I'm listening to the radio, and there's, don't go down this street because there's three cars in the ditch, and don't go down that street because there's a fender bender, and don't go down here because there's a semi knife jacked, and on she goes, right? So I get safe and sound to where I'm going. I actually got there two minutes early, right?
Yeah.
Seriously, a couple minutes early, which was great because I thought I'd be 10 minutes late. And then we had a great lunch and everything else, reconnected, and we're looking out at this snow is just coming down, and he's got what you can politely call a summer car, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah, you know, it's not one that's made for anything that looks like white snow.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get out of where he parked on the parking lot, which is flat, right? So I got there and I pushed him out, and I hadn't done that since I was living on the prairies, and we had minus 40 degree winters instead of the rainy ones I'm used to now.
Yeah.
And I thought that brought back memories, and then I got out and I came out, and the only way you could get out of this restaurant was to go down this small street, short street, and then it turned and it went up a hill. So I'm like, no problem, I turn, I go up the hill, and of course there's 3 inches of snow on the street, right?
Yeah.
And I got right to the top, like 4 feet away from where you're supposed to stop at the stop sign. Stuck. Couldn't go. No way I could go up any further, right? So I thought, okay, I'll go back down. And went back down. And I thought, well, do I try again or do I go out the entrance? So, and of course, because it's the way it was, there's very few people on the road. So I went out the entrance and came home, and I was just thinking, like, I would have been way better off just to have said, you know what?
Not today.
Not today. Can't barely see across the street. It's snowing so hard. Like, why don't we, you know, I haven't seen you in 8 months. I think a couple of weeks it won't matter, right?
Right, right. So do you recommend that you were feeling kind of the blood pressure thing going?
Oh, when I was going up the hill and I couldn't move, my wheel is going like crazy, and I come on, come on, come on. And it was just like frustration. And I could see the frustration in all the drivers, right? Like they're going way slower than they want to go, and fear and everything else. So today, I think, was a major elevation of the blood pressure of the city.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely that. You know, stress will do that. That's just how it's supposed to be, because your body normally, you know, like the stress that we are built for was the hunter kind of stress, right? Or being chased by the tiger kind of stress. So, you know, you're not supposed to be experiencing stress sitting down. You're supposed to be experiencing it in full gallop.
Right. Charging either towards the enemy or away from the enemy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, sitting down, I don't know what's the word, pumping your feet or whatever, is not the sufficient level of activity to work off the adrenaline that's coursing through your bloodstream.
Right, right. And that causes a problem for people, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Because we're not talking about something that just happens, you know, once a year or once every few months or even once a month. This is something that's happening numerous occasions throughout the day in the let's just say the average person's lifestyle, right? Whether we have coworkers that kind of bug us a bit, or our boss comes on us, or we have customers that are complaining, or someone cuts us off, or they're out of stock of our favorite yogurt, or it just goes on and on and on. All these things are happening on an ongoing basis, and we're not relieving any of that stress.
Right. So compare this to a cat.
Yes.
So there's cat. Now let's just say that he did have to hunt for food, right? So he'll find some bird somewhere out there, and he'll sort of stalk it, and then pounce, and then either hit or miss, but let's just say that he'll get it, he'll eat it, and then he'll go take a nap.
Yeah.
And he'll be as flaccid as a dish rag. Right?
Like totally relaxed.
Totally relaxed for hours. Exact opposite of what you just described.
Yeah.
And here's what happens in a body. When you engage the stress response, you know, the fight or flight, with the adrenaline and all of the hormones that come along with it, right then and there, it actually shuts down the repair side of your immune system. Mm. All resources are dedicated to the processing of the stress and dealing with the mechanical issues, like, you know, preparing you to have to run at full speed or climb a tree or be in a fist fight or whatever it is that you need to be in. But the repairs only happen when you shut down, when you go into the rest and digest. And we talked about magnesium being the mineral that engages this side of the cycle, that engages the autonomic nervous system's rest and digest phase. So that there's your first clue. If you don't have enough magnesium, you will have difficult time coming off of this stress side of things.
Okay, so let me see if I understand what you just said, because I felt a little bit lost for a second, but I think I got what you meant, and I just want to check it out. I'm totally stressed, and I think, okay, I'm going to sit down and meditate. So I sit down, close my eyes, and the next thing you know, I'm fidgeting, whatever, I'm up, and I'm running around doing stuff, because it's very difficult for me to be in a relaxed state when I'm deficient in magnesium.
Right. Try as you may, the food that your body needs in order to actually activate the rest and digest mechanism is lacking.
Mm. Because I don't have magnesium is a major part of that whole functioning aspect of my body.
Right. Exactly.
And we know that most people are really deficient in magnesium.
Yes, 60% of the population documented is clinically deficient.
Clinically deficient. And we can also see that when we're on the street like I was today and we see a bit of road rage going on. Those are obviously people that are not relaxed and probably very deficient in magnesium.
Yes. Well, the road rage itself is a classic expression of an imbalance between calcium and magnesium. Just getting too far off on the stress side. Yeah. Okay, so that's one part of it. The second part of this is what actually happens in the circulatory system. You actually are producing the hormones that cause injuries to the inside of your circulatory system. You with me?
No, I was going to ask you to say that again because it sounded really profound but kind of went over my head.
Okay. Your tiny little heart, the size of your fist, beats about 70 times a minute, about 100 times a day, pumping about 1,000 gallons of blood through about 70,000 miles of piping.
Wow.
Every day. So when you visualize 1,000 gallons, that's gigantic.
Right? It is. That's a lot of...
I mean, that's like bigger than an 8-man hot tub.
Yeah.
And it pumps it every day. All right?
Yeah.
So now when there are these fight or flight hormones in there, they are actually preventing repairs. They don't care if something rips. They don't mind because they need to save you. You know, a little nick or a little rip or a little burst of something is not a problem. We have a big
right.
problem chasing us down 20 feet behind us.
Right, right.
Only when this shuts down do we go into the repair mode and the hormones switch. It's sort of like a football game in a way where we would have the offensive team and the defensive team, right?
Yeah.
So if we have the offensive team on, there's just, forward, you know, charge. So when the defensive team comes on, if it only comes on for a little bit, I think I've got the metaphor backwards because I want to win the game, not lose it. But the point is that when you have the team on that's supposed to make the repairs, and it doesn't get to come on very much, the repairs don't
right.
get done. And so the piping gets damaged and doesn't get repaired. And this is inflammation. So when you have inflammation on the inside of your circulatory system, you only get to make the quick repairs. And the quick repairs is cholesterol. So,
right.
So here we go with the bucket of cholesterol. And, you know, the HDL, the high-density lipid, is the stuff that is sort of like the tool that puts the LDL, the low-density lipid, into the wall to try and repair it. So if you have too much of the LDL and not enough of the HDL, you have too many chiefs, not enough Indians kind of thing, or you have just the wrong ratio of things, the repair will not take place correctly.
Right, right.
Which
then
go ahead.
I was going to say, and that then causes all these other problems. And so once again, we're back at, you have this problem, but we deal with the symptom of the problem, not the cause of the problem.
Right. Okay, so let's define what will cause high blood pressure, for instance. You will have either hardening of the arteries or clogging of the arteries. Now, the hardening is caused by calcification, aging. When you spend many years abusing your body like this, over time, these vessels will become stiffer and stiffer. Now, in order to get the red blood cell with its nutrients all the way to the end of the capillary, you actually need to put more back end pressure on the blood in order to get them to the far end. Sort of like what you did today, you had to put your foot on the gas hard on that snowy hill because there was a lot of obstacles in the way to get to the top.
Yeah, and so I was flooring it and going very, very slow.
Right. So in a bloodstream that has calcified, that has had a lot of this hardening of the arteries, you will be pushing the blood hard, and yet it will not be moving all that well.
Right.
So that's one cause of the high blood pressure. And the reversal of that would have to be softening of the hardened arteries, removing the calcification that caused the stiffening, and removing the fibrin that the body used to make the repairs.
Yeah.
Now the second one is the clogging of the arteries. Now the clogging is done with this cholesterol. Right? So if too many repairs are needing to be done and we never have enough time to do it right, you know, if the downtime doesn't take place, right, you only have, instead of 6 or maybe 8 hours of sleep, you only get, 2 or 3 hours less every day. Your body gets used to, rush, we have to just, fix, just quick repair, never mind doing it right. Just slap this, slap that. Well, that's what that looks like. Rising levels of cholesterol, because we don't have time to rebuild the tissue properly.
We're
using fibrin, the scar tissue, to repair it instead of the native tissue, the stuff that it's normally built from.
Right.
So
we need to have more rest, we need to have magnesium, and we need to have some way of releasing the stress that we're building up in our bodies.
That's correct. Or else we will be experiencing the hardening of the arteries and clogging of the arteries, both of which will be causing rising blood pressure. The third direct cause would be a mineral imbalance in the body.
Right, a mineral imbalance.
And that usually has something to do with the kidneys, right? Because the kidneys are the organ that looks after the maintaining of the electrolytes in the blood. So if your electrolytes are off, it may be, either that you're high pressure or low pressure or something is off. And that's one of the standard tools that doctors will use, is that they will try a diuretic to lower your blood pressure by lowering the volume of your blood. Now, if you ask me what I think of that, I would say that is not very good thinking.
It's kind of like taking the air out of your tires and wondering why your mileage goes down.
I certainly am of the opinion that it killed my father prematurely. His complaint was high blood pressure. He went to the doctor and he prescribed diuretics. So my father died of a stroke because his blood ended up being too thick and caused a clot. And you get clots in blood that's too thick. So that's sort of interesting. So they saved him from high blood pressure, killed him with that.
Yeah, not good.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about that. According to the American Heart Association, here are some of the side effects of prescription blood pressure lowering medications: impotence, gout, muscle weakness, leg cramps, fatigue, tiredness, lightheadedness, dizziness, fainting, increased blood sugar levels, cold hands and feet, depression, slow heartbeat, racing heartbeat, asthma, skin rash, loss of taste. I almost want to be facetious and say too much taste, the opposite of everything. Chronic dry hacking cough, non-chronic occasional dry hacking cough, chronic wet hacking cough. Kidney damage, swollen ankles, fluid retention, constipation, It doesn't have diarrhea in here. Dry mouth, fever, stuffy nose, diarrhea. Oh, it does have diarrhea. So you can be constipated or you can have diarrhea. Great.
Well, what you're describing is that you're messing around with the basic regulatory systems of your body, right? And so, you know, some of those symptoms that you were listing had to do with your thyroid not being able to keep up with things. Another one, the kidneys not being able to keep with things. And I mean, you're messing around with this. I don't know. Sort of like trying to fix your slightly damaged car's body with a hammer.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you whack at it and, oh, darn it, pushed it a little too far. Could you hit it from the other side? Oh,
yeah,
there's this side effect. Oh, let's see. What can I do about that?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. Well,
so
you know, there's no way you could get yourself to a restoration of optimal function by using poisons that have side effects of destroying something else. I mean, whenever you put yourself in the hands of the allopathic medicine, you have started on a slope that has only one destination, and a premature decline in function and a whole bunch of years in a warehouse for old people. And if you're lucky, you're going to get something that's going to kill you quick.
Right, right. So, okay, so that's kind of the general medical system path. Go into the hospital, they stick a bunch of stuff in you, and it gets worse and worse and worse because nothing seems to ever get cured. And actually, there are, just in case you were wondering, there's over 50 million people in the States with high blood pressure. Only 27% of those patients have their condition successfully under control, according to this particular study. So if you're having side effects and the drugs really aren't working all that well, isn't that great? Mm-hmm. So you're not getting any of the benefits and you're getting all of the suffering. So this isn't something that's just you know, a problem for you know, the odd person. This is a major problem, to say nothing of like increased blood sugar levels. To me, that sounds like you're getting ready for diabetes. So all these other things could come with time, right? Just don't happen right now.
Yes.
So that now the question is, Martin, okay, so we know what the problem is. What do we do? Like, what are some alternative things that we could do?
Well,
obviously, exercise.
Well, let me give you an example of my good friend with whom he's one of my best subjects because I have a lot of conversations with him, a lot of feedback, and he's willing. So he reported that he was getting high blood pressure. Now what? And so he's now on the magnesium, and he's now on a systemic fibrinolytic enzyme. You know, we're using the Zymetol. You know, it's the serrapeptase. But, you know, any fibrinolytic decent quality enzyme would do it. So there he is. And what do we know? Well, he used to be not able to do much. He now is, I mean, this guy is my age, which currently is 58. And he's playing hockey in the winter and soccer in the summer in what you'd call the Masters League. Except he's playing with guys that are 30 and 35.
Wow.
And he's one of the most able-bodied there.
Nice.
Didn't used to be. But anyway, so the point is that we were able to manage all of this without further destruction. You know, like if we were to prescribe diuretics, would be killing his kidneys, or possibly causing a stroke. So if we were heading into the stroke territory, we would have had to have prescribed blood thinners, which in medical world is the warfarin, you know, the rat poison ingredient. So when you put that in the body, the side effect is that you're wrecking your liver. So you're always on this merry-go-round that's making one part worse while sort of fiddling with the other. Whereas in our situation, we have supplemented him with magnesium, so he's now relaxing very well, and we've supplemented him with a fibrinolytic enzyme, which has completely reversed the thickening of the blood, which is the you know, the clotting, and it's also reversed the scarring and the hardening of the arteries, because that's what makes them hard.
All right. Right.
How good is that?
It sounds ideal.
Yeah, it sounds good, and it should be sounding good, because it is. Anyway, so the only thing we haven't mentioned, two other nutrients that are worth discussing. One of them is called water. Now, you need to have decent water. You need to have good quality water, you know, of course, in a scientific quote-unquote world. You know, H2O is H2O. Don't bother me with your new age mumbo-jumbo. But the fact is that there is a difference. We know it. There's a difference in the cluster sizes. You know, small cluster size water will penetrate better and be more hydrating. Lower ORP water will be more readily able to carry out the metabolic transactions in the body. Lower surface tension water will dissolve things more efficiently. And lower acidity water will support greater oxygenation of the body tissues.
Yeah.
All of this from a bag of Prills. You don't even have to spend $6,000 on gadgets.
Right.
You could. I mean, there are some wonderful, you know, for instance, you can spend a couple thousand dollars on a water ionizer if you're insisting on not changing your lifestyle. If you insist that you're going to continue living an acidic lifestyle, then you have to drink the alkaline water just to stay even. Okay, so that's that.
So talk for a second about the pH, because that's the importance of having alkaline water, right? Is that we,
right.
Because the average diet is, you know, a bunch of McDonald's burgers and French fries and potato chips and Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all white bread and, you know, all
right.
This fried food, we that creates a very acidic body.
Right. Yes. Well, the worst culprits in acidification of the human, it's called interstitial fluids or extracellular fluids or the lymph. You know, all the fluids in the body other than blood. Because your body will defend the pH of the blood at the expense of everything else.
Right.
And the everything else, so the worst culprits, stress, lack of sleep, high glycemic index foods start from sugar and its cousin alcohol and its other cousin starch. Okay? So anything that even whiffs of high fructose corn syrup or, you know, the famous 9 teaspoons of sugar in a soda, you know, not even a pint, right? 12 ounces. Anyway, so where am I with that? The big issue is the acidification. So the first one was stress. Second one is these high glycemic index foods. Third one is coagulated proteins. So that would be, you know, cooked meat.
Right.
So that's
cooked meat.
That's not contributing. You know, like the more singed it is, the more the word barbecued it is, the less benefit.
Right.
If you want to eat meat and you should, well, here we go. One other really important component here is this biological individuality, the metabolic type. Because about half the people are acidified by meats, by proteins and fats. The other half is acidified by fruits and carbs. Okay? So we need to watch this. Like, there's a class of people that should be vegetarians. There's a class of people that should be carnivores. You know, the hunter-gatherer should be living on this Stone Age primal diet, whereas the body type that came off of the oasis in the Middle East or the fruit trees in the jungle, they are well suited to this fruitarian type of diet. But if you do the opposite to your metabolic type, you actually cause yourself significant amount of damage.
So it's important that we know which body type we are, because if we do what helps one body type but we're the other body type, we just make everything worse.
Oh yeah, we're heading straight for inflammation and cancer territory. Yeah, you could make yourself completely miserable following the dietary advice of somebody who tells you that, oh yeah, absolutely, you need to be a vegetarian and you need to eat lots and lots of fruit and blah, 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 you know?
Right, right.
Could be totally wrong for you. Now, here's what's right for everybody. Eat fruit alone, as in before other foods. You can eat as much fruit as you want, regardless of which body type you are, as long as you're eating it before other food. And it needs to be eaten raw, and it needs to be eaten by itself. So, you know, eat an orange, or a freshly squeezed orange juice, or eat a watermelon, or, well, whatever, apple, and so on, right?
Yeah.
Do not mix it into a strudel. Or don't expect that your fresh, pasteurized juice is going to pass for an alkalizing beverage. It's not. The moment you pasteurize it, you just messed with it enough that it becomes useless.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so we have fruit alone, then food combining. As long as you don't combine carbs with meats on the same plate, should be okay.
Cool.
So
That's really good information.
Yeah, so don't make me a salad that has rice, cut up ham, and an orange on it. It's just wrong.
Right, right. Which, of course, is the typical plate that everybody gets.
Well, you know, if you go into a fancy restaurant, the chefs have all gone from nice food into fancy food, right? So, you know, get this salad that's going to be, a chopped up orange and walnuts and something else, right?
Yep.
Or they'll just put a mango chutney on top of your salmon steak, or I don't know what, you know, some goofiness like that. Now, a little bit of condiment for flavor, no biggie. But if you're going to start doing volumes of it, you're in trouble. Okay, I'm just getting way off into so many different nooks and crannies.
So, Martin, if somebody wanted to know more about relieving hypertension or high blood pressure and all those sort of good things that come along with it, what should they do?
Well, on the Life Enthusiast, www.life-enthusiast.com, under Health Concerns, look up Heart and Circulation. There's a bunch of wonderful articles that explain, you know, I think we're going to have to probably talk about it some more later, because we haven't even gotten to the lecithin, the important nutrients that's required for transport of fats. We didn't get to talk about the bran and fiber.
I was actually going to ask you about bran, because I remember when oat bran was just like massive.
Well, they even still tell you that Cheerios will help lower your circulatory problems. That is such a lie. That's sort of like, remember about 2 years ago they introduced these organic cookies?
Yeah.
You know, you take organic wheat, then you take organic raspberries and organic cow's milk, and you make out of it organic cookies. That's sort of like taking good ingredients and turning them into
bad ones.
Crap. Well, that's a similar sort of thing. Yes, the story is that if you eat a large amount of fiber, and there is such a thing as large amount of fiber in oatmeal, or especially oat bran, then it will help scrub the cholesterol out of your body. You know, when it's loose in the circulatory system and the interface with the digestion takes place, it will indeed help transport a lot of cholesterol out of your body. But when you've toasted it, roasted it, sugared it, and covered it in milk in order to make it palatable, oh, you're so far off the mark.
Different story.
Yeah.
Great. So head over to www.life-enthusiast.com, or you could actually talk to Martin by calling
1-866-543-3388, or internationally, and we have been getting calls from all over the planet, 775-299-4661.
Cool. So you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week.